And it is, like I said, it's Good Shepherd Sunday, you know. So the readings from John 23 and Psalms 23 and John 10, that is evident that our crucified, risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd. But you know, have you ever stopped to think about what the magnitude is of a Good Shepherd and why the shepherd is the door and why we are compared to sheep? I hadn't really thought about the influence of that question before, until one morning a couple years ago. And on that morning, all the sheep that we have escaped from their pen and next to the barn where they belonged, and they's all over the yard. The gate come unlatched for some reason. Anyway, they were having a grand old time frolicking around the yard. About this time, our hired men showing up for work. They parked their vehicles and they commenced in hot pursuit, chasing the sheep. Admittedly, I was quite entertained sitting there watching them. About then, Janice walks out of the house. She calls the sheep, and everything stops. And I'm here to tell you, everything stops. The sheep, the hired men, and me thinking it was funny. As she walked across the yard, the sheep formed a line behind her, calmly marching all the way back to the barn, through the gate where they belonged. So when you hear in Scripture how the sheep will respond to the shepherd, these verses taken from John 10, verse 5, in the gospel lesson today is spot on when Jesus says, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear their voice, and I know them, and they follow me." To fully understand who Jesus is talking to, we must gather context from the previous chapter in John 9. Here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They're just having a conniption fit over Jesus healing a blind man on the Sabbath. For one thing, the Pharisees, in the Pharisees' eyes, is against Old Testament covenant law to work on the Sabbath, and healing a blind man broke that law. Secondly, they knew this blind man could only be healed by the works of God. And it just blew their mind that Jesus is the one that did this. Therefore, a standoff developed, so to speak, as we see in chapter 10, verse 6, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So these are the circumstances why Jesus refers to the Pharisees as thieves and robbers, stealing the truth and teaching lies to those who worship in the synagogue. But we know better as we embrace the truth through Scripture. Jesus the Messiah is the Messiah, like he tells us in John 14:6. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And another one of Jesus' many "I am" statements we see in chapter 10, verse 7. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." In biblical times, sheep were as imperative to a family's livelihood as anyone's occupation is today. The job of a shepherd was not an easy one. Long days in the elements while the flock required protection from predators and poachers. In the evening, the shepherd would lead his flock back home and through a gate or door for nighttime security. Now, usually this door would just be an opening in the fence, and the shepherd would lie down in this opening to protect the flock with his life if necessary. This was safeguarding the sheep and while keeping danger away, including the thief. As Jesus tells the Pharisees in verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You and I are likened to sheep because we need protection from danger and these false teachers. You see, sheep have no survival skills when released on their own. They are totally dependent upon the shepherd, just like we are. The sheep come to know that when the shepherd speaks, they should follow his plan. For his plan is far better than the plan that they might have for themselves. Sheep need the security found within the flock, and especially the security found behind the Good Shepherd's door. We find these same characteristics in our walk with Christ, our Good Shepherd. What attracts us sheep to follow the Good Shepherd? Let me answer that by paraphrasing Psalm 23. We can be assured he cares for you and I, his sheep, and protects us. He gives us all that we need. He leads us to places where we can find blessings and peace. He restores and refreshes us when we are physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained. He leads us down the path we ought to go, that our life will be pleasing to him. Even when we face challenges and circumstances in our daily walk with him that seem as dark as death itself, we don't have to be afraid, because we know that you are with us, Lord. You are doing what a shepherd does, guiding and guarding day and night. When the enemy surrounds us, you have a wonderful way of providing a table filled with bountiful blessings. Our cup of blessings overflow. When we get hurt, you have just a salve needed to bring healing. Surely your goodness and mercy endures forever. With this faith, we have the assurance of dwelling with you eternally in heaven. That, my friends, is why a sheep line up behind the Good Shepherd and follow his voice. Unfortunately, we are also compared to sheep because, like that eventful morning, sheep will stray occasionally and frolic through the yard. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." In our sinfulness, the evil one will lure us away from the flock that keeps us spiritually secure. We are reminded through Scripture that we are like sheep, prone to wander from the fold in search of false hope that can never fully satisfy. Desires that fill us with greed, lies, envy, or pride. You and I, as a proverbial sheep, will ignore the Good Shepherd's voice, his word. Satan, the spiritual mayhem guy, so to speak, works diligently to wreck our faith. That is what happened to Peter after Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are told in Matthew 26:58 that Peter followed him at a distance. In his sinfulness, he was afraid of what might happen to him if he went too close. Peter even denied knowing Jesus three different times when Jesus was being crucified. There is a distance created between us and God as well when we try to dwell in self-security, self-righteousness, self-pity, self-sufficiency. And as I go down this self-path, I could go on and on. Then what happens, we find ourselves like Peter, choosing the wrong door. Even though we know what Jesus says, he says he is the door, we see other doors in our life that lead us to think something is better behind the next one. Among temptation, we start questioning which door to choose. Remember the game show, Let's Make a Deal? There were three doors you had to pick from. The game show host, Monty Hall, would have you pick a door to see what door you might choose to receive that prize behind it. So let's say maybe you pick door number two. Then the hard part was to come. He would say, "Okay, now I'll give you a choice. Either take that prize or one that might be behind door number one or door number three. Should I keep what I have, what I, in my hand, what I see, or shall I take what I can't see? Might be behind another door." Monty Hall would thrive on getting people to make quick decisions and create doubt, which often affected the outcome, either good or bad. Making the right decision was the name of the game to go home with the grand prize of the day. Making the wrong decision possibly would award a contestant with a zonk, like broken furniture or a basket of dirty laundry. What makes the game show intriguing is the contestants are always being tempted to give up what they know they have for something else. Even when they can't see the cash or the prize, when given a choice, most of the contestants seem to go for what they can't see behind the next door. Why? Because they are hoping to win something bigger or better. What door will you choose when faced with temptation? Will you be better or worse off? Doors are metaphors for the choices we make every day. When you walk by a door, you choose to open or close it. You learn early that some doors you should not walk through, some you should, some you can't, and yes, even there's some doors that God will not let you walk through. However, at the end of the day, in all this doubting and debating, we know we need to quit frolicking around in the yard and listen to the Good Shepherd's voice. The Word of God is that voice. But you know as well as I do that it's easier said than done. Listening to his voice might not be at the end of today, might be at the end of the week, it may be just at the end of the month or longer. Like me, I'm hard of hearing. Luke understands this, and that is why he addressed this in the first reading that we heard today. How do I maintain my walk with God? In Acts 2, 42 to 47, that Sarah read a little bit earlier, Luke tells us that we can do that through worship and Christian community. We learn in this reading that worship was important to the life of the early Christians. They went together to the temple daily, praying, worshiping, and the breaking of bread were central to their lives. They were attentive to the teaching of the apostles, and they spent time in fellowship with each other. In all these ways, they become stronger in their faith and strengthened in their commitment to listening to the Good Shepherd's voice and seeking protection behind his door. Their joyful attitude and the obvious mutual love and fellowship had the effect of drawing in disciples, expanding the flock, and increasing the wealth of God's kingdom. People were drawn into the fellowship of Jesus' flock by the sincerity of their worship, the strength of their fellowship, and the witness of their service to the community. As we see in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is a door the Good Shepherd wants us to open. The best choice of all. No zonk. Yes, Jesus is the door on earth to remain righteous, and a door to heaven when we leave this place. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we continue to celebrate the open tomb. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, laid down his life on the cross and rose again, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but to give us life. My friends, he did this for his sheep because through his abounding grace, he loves us. He cares for us. He is our guide, protector, and healer. He is the provider of spiritual food, care, and mercy. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, finds joy in seeing the weak and suffering sheep find their way through the door into his presence. As believers in the here and now, we recognize his voice through Scripture and we follow him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I know I want to follow the Good Shepherd, and I know you want to as well. The one who finds us when we are lost and clueless, who opens the door to see beyond our beginnings and our sufferings, the door through Jesus who promises, and that we read, whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen.